This is the Voice of Literacy, where literacy researchers, teachers, principals, parents, and policymakers share and discuss how literacy research informs practice. Join the biweekly podcast and discussion forums. My name is Dr. Betsy Baker, Professor of Literacy Studies at the University of Missouri. This week, we hear from Dr. Peggy Albers, Associate Professor of Literacy, Language Arts, and English Education at Georgia State University. She does research involving visual representation in children's literature. Welcome, Dr. Albers.
Hello.
And tell us first how you got interested in this topic, in visual representation and or children's literature.
My first entree into visual information really was when I was a drama director in high school, and then when I made the decision to actually go into a PhD program, I went to Indiana University with the idea of studying with Jerry Harstie and Carolyn Burke, both of whom were semioticians and critical literacy researchers at the time. My dissertation explored the literacy in an arts-based classroom. An arts classroom, actually. Other literacy researchers were studying semiotics, but they were looking at visual texts and visual information produced in literacy classrooms, and I wanted to know what literacy looked like in an art classroom. It was really from there that this interest grew, and I'd always been interested in representation in children's literature when I studied with Nancy Lesko at Indiana University, whose interest lay in postmodernism and feminism. And I just coupled that my interest in the arts as well as my interest in critical literacy and feminism.
Okay, let's,
and it was a natural marriage.
Let's pause and make sure, break down a few terms. Can you make sure that we all understand? What do you mean when you say semiotics?
Semiotics is a study of signs in our environment, and it draws from the work of Charles Peirce, who was an American pragmatist, and he was studying the different kinds of languages through which we make meaning. And he defined language as being art, music, mathematics, movement, and written spoken language. Each of these languages has its own cueing systems. Like written and spoken language have, especially written, of course, the graphic phonic connection. We also have a syntax, or a way in which the language is organized to make sense or to make meaning. And then semantics, of course, is how we interact with that language and how we make sense of that text, that spoken, written, art text, music text.
And so I assume this informs you then in this study that's coming up in the Journal of Literacy Research on visual representations in children's literature. Explain to us then, are visual representations actually part of literacy, or talk to us more about what you mean by visual representations?
Visual representation is really anything that we can see, and my current research that definitely informs the piece that's in Journal of Literacy Research. Visual representation is what we see and how we interact or make sense of the actual visual information in front of us. And with children's picture books in particular, artists create meaning by the way in which they use color, the strokes of the paint or watercolor, the way in which they've organized information on the canvas. Each of those art elements speaks to us, or we interact with it in a particular way. Now, for most of us in children's literature, not a lot of us have a background in reading or interpreting visual text except from an aesthetic perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And that means, do I like it? Is it beautiful? Do I think it's something that I really want to share with others? However, what I'm trying to think about in my own research is how are artists organizing that information on the page, how are they retranslating it over time, and how in some ways, especially in this article in particular, how in children's literature do these images become reconstituted or retranslated over time to create stereotypes of culture?
So given the expertise that you've amassed doing this research, what would you tell a group of teachers based on your expertise, how would this inform their practice?
Well, for me, I think it's really important that teachers step back from their aesthetic stance. Do I like the book because the illustrations are beautiful? I think that's one step. I think that's really nice that teachers look at a book and say, I think my kids would really like this. However, I would like them to look across books of similar cultures and say, how, for example, are African Americans represented in children's books, or Native Americans now, or Asian communities or Asian culture? Because largely what has happened in this particular study of Caldecott literature, what I had noticed, and even though culture is arbitrarily separated into Asian, North America, Native American, African American, white experience, I know those boundaries need to be blurred. However, when children think about Native Americans, for example, what comes to mind is warriors on a horse, mm-hmm. on horses, mm-hmm. or warriors with feathers, or in some sort of buffalo hunt situation. So for me, teachers, I think I would like to see them engage students in critical analyses of these of culture and try to say, what is missing here?
Mm-hmm.
Where are Native Americans in today's world? What happens with picture books, and in this set that I examined in particular, Native American culture gets located in a romantic past, much like the past that Charles Russell drew or painted when he conceived of a Native American life back in the 1800s. However, Native Americans, their lives are very different. I come from South Dakota, and I grew up in the culture of Native Americans, and their lives outside of picture books looks very different.
Yeah. Now, this
so
sounds
I want teachers to step back and say, what else is missing, and how else can we talk about culture mm-hmm. in a more contemporary light?
It sounds like some of the information and tips you're giving teachers here might be similar for what parents could do. Can you translate that over for parents?
Yeah, I really, for me, parents can, I think parents can step back, too, and look at their children's visual imagery that they create in literacy classes. And usually what happens is they put them on the wall or they put them on the refrigerator and they just get left there. I would like parents to actually talk to their children about what they've actually drawn. Why did they use the colors they did? Mm-hmm. How did they come up with these ideas? So that mm-hmm. kids start to see that meaning is visually made, that it's not just artwork that hangs on a wall as decoration, that it really does come from the very many social and literacy experiences that they have in the classroom, and that these texts arise out of the discussions, out of their picture book readings, out of all the writing that they do, and the interaction with their friends and their colleagues and their classmates, as well as the school environment, that these texts are not naive illustrations mm-hmm. of something that is decoration. It's all about what meanings are they making and what messages are they conveying and how are they communicating these messages visually.
Well, and certainly in our multimedia world, the importance of students being able to understand and orchestrate not just alphabetic systems, but also with all the visual systems that are now available. These are such important skills for kids to develop. What would be your suggestions for any principals or policymakers, those who might be overseeing some of the budgets and or curriculum?
I think for me, for principals, I would really like to encourage principals to engage their teachers in helping them develop a community in their school that looks at literacy as expanded, not only just reading and writing and focusing on worksheets or short paragraphs or sentences or just connecting to the graphophonic relationships, but they help students and teachers navigate and understand how messages get conveyed visually. I think in particular of advertisements and how advertisements really impact how kids see themselves in relationship to objects and toys or in as adolescents, and what kind of messages are being sent visually, what kind of messages are being sent on MySpace mm-hmm. or Facebook mm-hmm. or YouTube. And those three sites in particular are accessed millions of times a day. So I'd like principals to think about how they could build up a set of professional development experiences for teachers to engage in the reading and critical analyses of visual texts. My book, Finding the Artist Within, that came out with International Reading Association last year, its purpose really was to help teachers read and engage with the kinds of art elements that are involved in the visual arts so that they could help their students learn to make the kinds of meanings that they really want, and not just make the meanings, but be conscious of the kinds of meaning that they're making, what those marks on the page mean, those object placements mean, mm-hmm. and that they study visual language as they do with written language as a language that has graphic elements, a syntax or organizational way of communicating meaning, and that this organization impacts how the viewer, as well as the creator of the visual text, presents a message or interprets a message.
Yeah. Do you have any final comments or ways that you can give us insights into directions you're taking this research or things that we still need to be finding out about visual representations?
Yeah, I do want to just kind of backtrack just a second. Mm-hmm. I do want to talk about policy, too, a little bit, and then I'll go into that last question.
Okay.
But for me with policy, I think the focus nowadays is just so much on reading and writing written text, but our world mm-hmm. is so visual nowadays that everyone is bombarded with over 3,000, who knows how many images a day. And oftentimes, as I write about in this article, these images get subsumed into one's own experiences, and sometimes these images then get reproduced in text. And I think we need to step back, and policymakers need to think about how can we engage and support the kind of work that needs to be done in schools so that children are more thoughtful about how they read messages, what messages are being sent to them, and then how they create those messages. Because our students will be those adults who will be creating multimodal texts, and we need to step back and help them understand how to choose and how to represent visually. And in terms of my own work right now, I'm actually continuing my work with critical analyses of visual texts. And this is an area that hasn't really been addressed. People aren't looking at, or researchers and educators are not really looking at the kinds of meanings that are made in language arts or literacy classrooms visually. And what I'm looking at is developing a taxonomy for looking at student-generated visual texts in literacy classrooms and to try to help understand what kinds of meanings are made, what kinds of grammars are being expressed, and how teachers and parents and anybody who's interested in visual texts can read children's texts more carefully and thoughtfully so that they're not just positioned as decorations on the classroom wall, mm-hmm. but they become evidence of how students understand text, how they're able to produce text, the complexity of the messages that they're sending and making. The other area that I'm working on right now, I'm working on a couple of books right now, one called Visual Discourse Analysis. It's a piece that came out in the National Reading Conference Yearbook in 2007, in which I talk about how do we more carefully study and systematically analyze student-generated visual texts created in language arts classrooms and literacy classrooms. And the second one is an edited book in which I'll be soliciting authors to write about the actual methodologies that they use to analyze visual and digital texts. I've also got an edited book out under review with NCTE on what are some of the visual practices and arts-based practices that teachers and researchers are doing in their own classes. So my work continues to evolve into critical analyses of student-generated visual texts, an area that's not quite as explored as we'd like.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Peggy Albers from Georgia State University, thank you for sharing your insights and wisdom with us today.
Thank you.
You can find Dr. Albers' research in the Journal of Literacy Research, Volume 40, Issue 3. Go to our website, voiceofliteracy.org, where you can find a link to this article and additional work done by Dr. Albers. You can also join online discussions of this and other podcast episodes. We invite you to peruse a schedule of upcoming topics and guests, as well as pose questions for those guests. This is the Voice of Literacy.